I've been very formal this evening with my misters and my misses. It's me up next to read. And we're going to turn to the passage that I'll speak to, and that's Luke's Gospel, Luke 2, 8 through to verse 20. Luke 2, verse 8. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock at night. By night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who had heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Amen. And we thank the Lord for his word. It is amazing in our day and age just how quickly news travels. In our modern world, you could put a message up on your phone right now, and the world could see it almost instantaneously. Hopefully none of you right this very moment are sending a message to those in the rest of the world. Please don't be tweeting. Any quick look at celebrity news, particularly celebrity baby news, whether on a magazine or online, and you very quickly see there the speed of news as it travels from the announcement, tracking the pregnancy, the celebrations at the end, everything recorded, everything shared in an instant. We find it hard to imagine any kind of world where news is not instant. We have so quickly, I mean, next Christmas Day, next Lord's Day and Christmas Day itself, we'll be sending pictures to our family has a WhatsApp group. We'll be sending pictures to my sisters who are out in New Zealand. I have a couple out there. And they will receive that instantly as we are around our Christmas dinner. And we will see them as well. We just become used to it. But for all its speed, and certainly in terms of celebrity news and celebrity baby news, often it's impersonal. We have to go, we have to watch, we have to receive it. We often, in those cases, are just mere consumers, mere observers. For all the internet's magic, it can't really deliver the news to us in a personal manner. We are only watching the stories of those pregnancies. We are only watching, receiving. But imagine if in the sharing of news, that celebrity, that dad or mum, had told you of the news themselves, instead of reading about it in Hello or seeing it on the internet. They had told you themselves. That would change everything about the story. You would have been honored. You would have get to participate in it and been part of the story, connected to it in a very special way. We have a speedy announcement of a famous birth here tonight. But it is not an impersonal one. Not an impersonal, general one, but a very specific announcement to a very particular people. Let's meet them. Let's meet them now. They're in verse 8 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. The shepherds. I have to be so careful when I say that the shepherds washed their flocks. I'm leaping to the washed their socks. The shepherds probably didn't wash all that much at all. They smelled of sheep. I said smell, I suppose. They probably really stunk of sheep. Apologies for any sheep farmers. These Hebraic shepherds, they were poor. They were not like the modern man or woman or farmer. They probably didn't read the Financial Times, or they probably didn't even... Well, they couldn't read the farming supplement of the newsletter anyway, that's for sure. In terms of desired jobs in Hebrew society, in their day and age, in terms of jobs that, I don't know if you'd have gone to your careers teacher and asked and talked to them about what were you going to work at, they would have not been steering you towards the path of a shepherd. Theirs would have been at the bottom. You would have been, if you were in a sticky wicket with the law, you couldn't call on the shepherd to give evidence in court for you. They wouldn't have been good big churchgoers either. No time for the rituals, the expenses of having to go up to the temple. They were to travel about the land with the herds and claimed land. They would stole goods, bought the average house price in the area down. And here we find them in Luke's narrative of the Christmas story. Out in the fields. Out in the fields, isolated from everyone else. And no desire, certainly, to hear any royal news or announcements. And yet they are the very ones to whom God Himself, has chosen to make the news of the royal birth known to. There, a few fields over, was a young virgin giving birth to the Savior of the world. In those days, in those times, it wasn't like us, where we share news all the time and it goes from us to the world via Facebook post, and everyone can see it. In those days, news went from the top of the social tree, from the king or the emperor. News went from the top down to the bottom. The most powerful people ought to have known first about Jesus. And then slowly it would have gone through the ranks. But not for this king. For this king did not come for the wise or the powerful. He came from the sinner, the lowliest of the low in God's eyes. The societal movers and shakers were below the radar. At this stage in the story, they know nothing about this divine event. Caesar Augustus sitting over there in Rome. That emperor known for Pax Romana. The long period of relative peace. He was not informed of the Messiah's birth. The one who was good news to all. Herod, at least according to Luke, was not informed of the Messiah. He had to hear it from a bunch of astrologers who came later on looking for the Messiah. That's Matthew's story, not Luke. Another day for that. Here was a personal message to a lowly people who needed a Savior. For you and I, you will not leave church this evening and see an inscription across the sky that Jesus was born. There is no impersonal way that we tell you that Christ came for you. You will not hear it on the 6 o'clock news. Here is a personal announcement from the King of Kings to you, just as he spoke to the shepherds. He says it in his word He says it in the Bible, written on your family and your friends' lives, that I have sent my Son into the world, into your world, to live a perfect life and die a ransom, to move you from unrighteousness, where you are an enemy of God, to righteousness and a friend of the Father. Accept this good news. Now, while the message itself, well, it came to the lowly of the low, and that's unusual, the actual manner of the delivery was royal indeed. Faster than any tweet, any WhatsApp message, any quicker than any text message, the angels. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around. An angel covered that distance from heaven to earth in the blink of an eye to announce the good news, the gospel as it would become to known as we call it, the good news of great joy. This birth of a king wouldn't be announced by earthly men or women. Our vessels were not fit to hold the joy of heaven as it reached down to the earth once more. God used to walk with Adam, with Eve in the garden. And with the birth of Christ, God would walk once more again and correct what went wrong at Eden, to bear the curse on his own shoulders, defeated at the cross. The royal announcement. Well, how do we know it's a royal announcement? Well, we've a title. Verse 11 tells us, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He is entitled the Savior, a Messiah, a Lord. The baby is to be the Lord, the king born in the line of kings of Israel, David. Earthly kings of old who ruled Israel. But their house had fallen long ago, long way. And there was no Israelite kings in the land when Christ came. Yet the angels are singing about a king, a new king named the Savior, who would bring peace between God and man. These titles are helping us as we piece it together, to give us the identity of the baby king and show us what he has done for us. Isaiah 9:2, another very famous Christmas reading, describes how the people are walking in great darkness. We are the people who are walking in darkness. Apart from God, we have no hope. Yet Jesus, the light of the world, stepped down into our darkness to rescue us. Our darkness is that realm of Satan, the prince of darkness, to whom we are bound as slaves. We are serving him in our slavery to sin. But Jesus, folks, this evening, Jesus has won the victory against sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil through the cross, giving us joy and gladness, freedom and peace. And it begins the announcement, foreshadowing what we would come to do in this verse. Armies traditionally announce war, but in verse 13, "And suddenly there were with the angel a great multitude of the heavenly host and heavenly army almost, praising God." And they're not announcing war, folks. What are they saying? "Glory in excelsis, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Glory to God's the starting place. And God chooses to share it with us. For this eternal peace, we need an eternal king. Not a king like in the feeble line of earthly kings like David. Some good, some disappointing. This baby is to be an eternal king. Forever he will reign on the throne. You come and encounter a king who's going to reign and rule forever. Well, we have a choice there. Will we serve under that king, or are we going to rebel against him? The Christmas story is confronting us, even this evening in this little passage, with the announcement of that king, the birth of the Lord Jesus. And in conclusion, the angels accompanied this announcement to the shepherds with directions. They give them directions. If you're going to heal something like that, if angels announce to you such a peace, such a Messiah, you're immediately going to want to know, where can I go? I need to go and find this king. Curiosity, compulsion drove them to Bethlehem to see this babe. And the angels directed them. Given most babies, most babies kind of look the same. At least whenever they're very, 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 very young. There might have been one or two wrapped in clothes. The angel points them specifically to the baby lying in a manger, where only one such surely lie, the Savior born in Bethlehem. And sure enough, in verses 15 and 16, off they went. Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And they find the right baby, the right Messiah, the only Messiah. Those who had heard the personal announcement, the royal announcement, they went to see the baby, and they went right away because they were amazed. They were amazed, and in him they found all that God had promised. They knew that the Messiah had come. We do not need instant and global impersonal communication to tell us about the birth of this king. We have a personal announcement. The Lord has chosen to share it with us. In Christ we see the one who is our Messiah, and we are told of him tonight. Through his death and resurrection, he wins the battle for us. There's a royal announcement that our sin is defeated at the cross. The grave did not hold him. The tomb could not keep him. Our Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is alive. There's historic facts in the pages of Scripture before us this evening. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And there's historic facts, the end of the Gospel of Luke. As we are told of the cross and the resurrection. The baby that we come to worship grew to live and died to bring us peace and reigns in heaven forever and ever. Christ the King offers to you and offers to me peace. Peace to whom his favor rests. Do you know that peace? Are you in here this evening and you have no sense of peace at all? You're wondering why you came, and yet here we are. God speaking to us personally. Think on these things on the Christmas break. Do more than think. Accept what he has done for you. The gift of peace with God goes beyond any earthly present we can give or receive this season. It is one of eternal rest. And it will begin here tonight. Let us pray about these things. Let us ponder them in our hearts. Let us pray. Oh, Father, there is much in the world that promises peace. There is much in the world that promises glory. Yet, Father, tonight we have encountered that from heaven itself, that which speaks of eternal peace, that which speaks of glory, glory as of the Father. Father, we do pray that you would continue to impress, drill in that personal announcement of the Lord Jesus, him who grants us reconciliation, who brings us grace, who makes right us before you and can do so because of the cross. Oh, Father, we pray that we would see that announcement. Lord, that you indeed, as you spoke to those angels all those years ago, surely too, through your word and by your spirit this evening, speak still and speak of Christ Jesus, the Savior, the Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.